Soundboard, a podcast for radiation oncology administrators. I'm Tammy McCausland, and I'm joined in conversation today with Scott Waldron, an internal communication strategist and consultant with Giant. Welcome, Scott.
Thanks for having me. I'm excited about this. Good.
Let's start by having you tell us a bit about who Scott Waldron is and how you became so passionate about leadership development and effective communication.
Well, that journey began almost 19 years ago. I went to school for graphic design and brand work. So I worked mostly in the sales and marketing and graphic design world for most of my career. And having done that, we worked on a lot of, you know, that external communication programs or external brand development or building that reputation or trying to sell a product or service to a consumer or client. And in that time, I realized there was a lot of dysfunction happening on the internal side with the client. We would work on projects for a long time, maybe a year, maybe longer. And then on the internal side, they would say, oh, we're going to scrap that, or we're going to change a different direction, or they had a hard time approving things because there was no alignment, no consistency in what they wanted. And there was so much dysfunction on the inside, it made our job hard on the outside, right, to get that message out. And so then I also began my own leadership journey and understanding who I was as a leader and being self-aware. And there were so many aha moments. So combine my self-awareness and my new love of understanding communication with myself and others, along with understanding that there's an internal problem with companies and organizations and getting things done. And I started in this journey. So this is where I am now, and I love it.
How do you help leaders and organizations use data to identify where they can make improvements? And why is that data component so important?
So data is I think, a game changer. So I'm a data junkie. I used it in market research when doing a lot of work on the external marketing and brand side. And I bring it to the inside now, where we do a lot of what we call market research, but we are really talking to employees and staff. And I know a lot of other maybe leadership or team communication individuals do that. Do It is a little bit different. So we use an online platform called Giant, and we go in and we assess 5 different things. We talk about communication, relationships, alignment, execution, and capacity. And we have an assessment called the invincibility assessment that we have everybody take. And we use that and actually get an aggregate score based on all the questions that are asked out of 100 that give us the health of that organization. So we can get an individual score for each of those 5 components, and then we take an average. And then we can break that down by team, we can break it down by department, we can break it down by region, we can break it down by different components and understand the weaknesses and the strengths of that organization and what's happening. That way, we can customize a training program or a leadership development or team communication development program for what they need. And we have a baseline, a benchmark to go off of. So a lot of other leadership programs can't really measure that progress. One thing that we do is protect that investment. We say, hey, you want to show an ROI? Give me 90 days and I will show you a quantifiable impact on your organization using this data. So data is so important because it tells us where we were, it tells us where we are, and hopefully it will mark out where we want to go.
It's very interesting that you use the data. So are you also advocating more than going beyond like a training course or sending, say, an organization, sending its leader off to a half-day workshop or telling them to read some great management books?
Yeah, so I call those 20th century programs, 20th century leadership programs. And there's still a place for those. I still read leadership books. I still go to seminars and webinars. But information transfer does not lead to transformation. So let me say that again. Information transfer does not lead to transformation. If we want transformation, behavioral change inside of our organizations with our leaders and our teams, then we need to implement programs. We need to implement things that are simple, sustainable, and scalable in order to drive that change. One day workshops, bringing somebody in for a day, 2 days, sure. Like, I can understand the impact, but what normally happens with those, and I'm going to get a lot of head nods out of this, is that we're jazzed, we're pumped, we're all like, we're going to change the world, right? We leave that workshop or that conference, and we go back to work, and maybe things are a little bit different. Maybe we've implemented a couple little things, but then things generally go back to the way they were about a month later, if not sooner. And it doesn't drive long-term change. And I think that with the data, understanding where we are, and monitoring and actually assessing the team ongoing, we'll be able to see that change and drive that change long-term.
How do you help leaders overcome any resistance?
Yeah, well, one of the things that I try to emphasize is it's not my job to necessarily convince you of this. That's another reason why the data helps so much, right? So what I want to do is have initial conversations with key individuals, understand the pain or the thing that they're experiencing, right? It could be burnout on the team. It could be a lack of loyalty. There's high turnover and churn. It could be there's a lack of respect. There's miscommunication. There's misalignment about what we're trying to be doing. And if those things are happening, any of those things are happening within the organization, then there's cause for improvement. Now, some people will say, oh, it's fine the way it is. Like, we're good. Things aren't amazing, but they're fine. Like, it's not broke. Don't fix it. You know, I'm like, well, just because it's not broke doesn't mean it couldn't be better, right? It's like, your tires will run when they're flat, okay? You can get somewhere in your car with flat tires. It's going to do some damage to your rims, probably, but how much better would it be if they were inflated properly, you know? And so I want leaders and teams to understand that it's not my job to influence, I guess, convince you that you need this. Number one, I want to understand if there's a pain, help you understand that pain and the possible consequences or results of that pain, and then develop a customized program that works around you and your schedule. Yes, hospital systems are super busy, especially right now. How can we create something that is flexible and sustainable over time that drives that change that we're looking for?
Are leaders often surprised at the ways or areas in which they need to improve their own communication skills?
Some, yeah, I would say some are. This is what's great about the data, right? Is that when the teams take the invincibility assessment, it's anonymous, it's completely anonymous, and the leaders of these organizations may have an awakening. They may have a kind of a, what? Like, really? I thought we were doing good in that area. Or, oh, I thought I was doing great in that one thing. And there's a real opportunity. That's what the data, right? The data tells us this stuff. It's not me, the coach or consultant, telling you. It's the data telling us that we need improvement in these areas. So if those leaders are humble enough, eager enough for change, and wanting to move things forward, they will want to improve themselves first, be self-aware as leaders and as team members, and then look for ways to make improvements in the team long-term.
Another question for you is, how does what's happening on the inside of an organization, what you've called the internal brand, or influence or affect the external brand?
Yeah, let's define that word brand first. The word brand, a lot of people just think of marketing speak, right? And I come from that world. That's why I kind of brought it to the inside. But when we talk about brand of a company, it has nothing to do with the logo or the color palette or the font. It's all about the reputation. It's what people say about that company when we're not around. It is simply me going to my neighbor, to my friend, to my family member and saying, hey, you got to check out this restaurant. Oh, I had the best experience with this thing. Hey, this product is fantastic, right? It's that word of mouth. It's reputation. And that is important for everyone, not just companies, but for employees to have their own brand, right? You could be in a meeting with somebody and be like, oh, John, he is killing it. He does so well with this, this, and this, and this, right? That's John's brand. And I can rely on John. Or is it John is, I can't depend on John. John has dropped the ball so many times. John's not great at this thing. Like John's brand, okay? So when we talk on of an internal brand, I'm talking about what is the employees and the leaders of that organization saying when they go home at night, when they're away from the office, when they're away from their team, what are they saying to their friends at the barbecue that weekend? What are they saying to their family members? Are they like, my leader is such a jerk. Like that person will not listen to me. They just love their own ideas. Or are they saying, I feel valued, heard, and understood at my job. I'm going to be there forever, right? That's what breeds loyalty. So when we start on the internal side and really being intentional about building loyalty with our employees and the people that we work with, then we are going to not have to worry about them going home at night and talking bad about us as leaders or bad as about us as an organization, which will help with recruitment efforts. It will help with reducing churn of those employees. And that internal brand experience is going to bleed over into the external experience. If you're creating happy employees, they are going to translate that happiness to the external side, which is going to create loyalty with your employees and customers and patients going forward.
Can you clarify what you mean when you talk about loyalty?
Yeah, so we all crave loyalty, right? I crave loyalty from my spouse. I crave loyalty from my employees. I crave loyalty from the organizations that I work at. Loyalty is that ultimate thing we all want. We want that as even as businesses, we want our customers to be loyal to us, right? So when we talk about loyalty, it's there is no other. It's the concept of there is no other. Remember Jerry Maguire, when Jerry Maguire busts in the door at the end, and he's like, hey, we live in a world of tough competition. I love you. You complete me. That is a bridge over into loyalty. We want every patient, customer, client to bust through the door and say, you complete me, whoever you are, right? You complete me. There is no other. I'm going to go to that pizza restaurant, even though there's five more within a mile. I'm going to go to that one. I'm going to even drive further to go to that one because I'm loyal to that one. There is no other. I'm loyal to my spouse. I've married my spouse. There is no other. You complete me. That's what it's about. And that's what we want as employees and staff too. I don't want to go anywhere else. You treat me amazing. I'm loyal to you. There is no other. And that's what we talk about when we're talking about loyalty.
Thanks for clarifying that. The big thing that happened in 2020 was the transition to remote work because of the pandemic, which has basically changed the way everybody works. In healthcare, it's been interesting because some people, especially in radiation oncology, still have to be on site because the treatment can't be delivered automatically. And other people get to work at home, and that may change the way things, maybe a permanent change where some people may always get to work at home or, you know, work at home more than they did before the pandemic. So I wanted to know, what do you see as the biggest changes that leaders and their teams need to make in this new remote work reality we're in?
Number one, and I think they need this in general in every aspect of work, but it's starting with being self-aware of your own tendencies, your own work styles, your own need for interaction or lack of, you know, some people don't need that interaction as much, human interaction. And isolation can be a real problem for certain individuals. So I think it's very important for a leader to be self-aware of who they are, first of all, but then to be aware of the other needs and communication styles within the group and be intentional about how you communicate with those individuals. So remote work has caused a little bit of a communication gap. We are texting more. We're using Slack messages more or Office Teams more. We're using text and digital communication more. We are not doing face-to-face interaction. There's a huge gap in the effectiveness of communication when we go from face-to-face to text messaging. I mean, how many times have you received a text message that was misunderstood, or the tone was misunderstood, or it's like, what? Like, I didn't really think I came off too mean, but they think I did. Like, there's a lot of that that's going on. A lot of things get lost in translation. So be intentional as a leader. Take the extra effort at this time to schedule a Zoom meeting, some kind of video meeting. Maybe it's just a quick FaceTime video, right, on your phone. Maybe just something to get some kind of interaction. Schedule tiny bits of time before meetings or after meetings to have 5 minutes of water cooler talk, right? Some people may see that as a complete waste of time. Like, hey, let's just get on, get the thing done, and leave. But there are people in your organization that need that human interaction. So be aware of yourself and be aware of other people around you, because that's going to go a long way.
Tell me about your Sherpa Leadership Program and how leaders can benefit.
So when I talk about Sherpa training, we call them Sherpa groups or the Sherpa Leadership Program. A Sherpa is that individual. It's a people, right? It's not a title. Sherpas were born at a certain elevation, and they're the ones that escort individuals up Everest. Okay. Usually when somebody takes a picture at the top of Everest, it's them holding their arms held up high. It's just them and they're celebrating. But what we don't see is the person on the other side of the camera, which is usually the Sherpa. And what's interesting about a Sherpa is if you go and you talk to a Sherpa and you say, hey, how many times have you summited Everest? They will generally not really know. They don't really keep count. They're just doing it. It's just their job. It's just the thing they do, and they just do it all the time. If you say, how many people have you brought to the top of Everest, they can usually tell you. That is because a Sherpa's job is not to be there for themselves. It's there to help others. So the Sherpa training program is all about developing leaders to be 100X leaders. 100 meaning as close to 100% healthy as possible. And X meaning multiplying that health to other people. We have a lot of 65 plus leaders, right? They're kind of healthy and they say, hey, my door is always open. That's a plus leader. Like, it's not bad. It's just, but when we say multiplication, when we multiply that health, then we can say, hey, I'm taking what I'm learning and I'm multiplying that through everybody else that can then multiply that through other people as well. Then scale comes. So the Sherpa training program is generally a 6 to 12 month program. We meet every 2 weeks for about an hour. We go through different modules together using the giant platform. Some of these are self-guided where you'll watch a short 3-minute video. And then I coach you on that process. There's some extra work for you to do through that. But they're super simple tools, super engaging video content that is new and relevant. It's all mobile friendly. It's 24/7. And it's super engaging. It changed my life, and I'm using it to hopefully change others.
That's awesome. What are 2 or 3 takeaways you can share with leaders so that they and their employees can communicate more effectively?
Number one is, understand your own, I've said this many times, understand your own personality and your own communication style. And there's a free tool you can use on Giant. It's if you go to www.giant.tv/30days, that's 30 days, then you'll be able to jump on there. It's a free account, no credit card, nothing. It's just all free. And you'll be able to take the 5 voices assessment, understand your own communication style, and then have others take it as well, because you understand their communication style or the other personalities in the group. So number one is being self-aware. That's going to help you understand yourself and help you understand other people, your own tendencies and the tendencies of others. Number two is to understand how to use your time more wisely. Set boundaries, especially in remote working right now. We need to set up boundaries for ourselves, for our family members, and for our colleagues. We need to create routines where we can hunker down and get our own work done and not be bothered. We also have to create routines where we're giving ourselves rest and space to be healthy. So that's number two. Number three, I guess what I would say is be aware of the medium that you're using to communicate, right? We talk about text messaging. We talk about social media. We talk about using FaceTime or video conferencing and in person. Which medium is going to be right for you at that at specific times, okay, in order to bring effective challenge to those around you? So be aware of those different tools, and I think it's going to go a long way.
You've given a lot of great insight today. I really appreciate your time, and it's been great to talk to you, Scott. Thank you very much.
Yeah, thank you. It's been awesome. I really appreciate it. If anybody wants to find out more about me, you can go to scottwaldron.com. But I encourage everybody to sign up for that Giant account. It's free, like I said, forever, and there's a ton of beautiful leadership and team communication tools on there.
Thank you for listening to SROA Soundboard. We hope you will join us again. For more information, visit www.sroa.org.